Okay, good morning from Crane Christian Church. It is Sunday school, and I have noticed that some of you guys have been sharing this, and we're getting about 500 to 600 views a week, which is way up. So feel free to like, share, send me a message and say, that was dumb. You know, I get those every once in a while, so anyway. Okay, so in my prayer time this week, I came up with these lyrics, and we're in Psalms, okay, but these lyrics were, I don't know if Zach Williams actually wrote these, but I know he sang them. And I wrote at the top of this, insecurity, okay? This is Zach Williams' song. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. And the chorus is this: fear is a liar. He will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob you of your rest. He'll steal your happiness. He'll cast your fear. Now he's now encouraging us, Zach is now encouraging us, cast your fear into fire, because fear, he is a liar. And I was thinking about that this week because, over the last couple of weeks actually, there's just been some things that have come up that have hit on some old insecurities. Anybody ever have any old insecurities? Just kind of hit on those old insecurities. And I thought, you know what? Am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to believe what insecurity says? Am I going to believe what fear says? Am I going to believe, you know, all things are working together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose? Are they? Is that the Bible? Is that happening? Does it always work out just like I wanted it to? Praise God. No, it does not. It don't. Sometimes it don't. Okay. So Psalms 144 is where we're at. I just wanted to read. That's just the first verse of that song. And guys, I want to tell you, just to go along with that real quick, this is for somebody here today online, or you'll see it this week or whatever. But I want you to, I'm not going to mention his name. There's a guy that I read his stuff. He is not a pastor or anything like that. He's just a guy. And one of the things he says is, in his training as a special ops guy, that fear, and the opposite of fear is not bravery. And I was talking to a guy last night about a tactical situation that occurred a couple of years ago, which I will not go online and talk about, where some horrible things happened because some people chose to not do something, to not go in. And essentially, this guy last night reaffirmed exactly what this teacher that I follow said. The opposite of fear is not bravery. It's action. Because when you start acting, what happens is things start happening. And this, the first guy that I mentioned that I referred to, and I'm being very generic for a reason, okay? Because there's enough controversy, I don't need to start anymore, okay? I start enough with other subjects, okay? But here's the deal. He literally said that he was trained in special operations, that when something happens, you don't sit there and say, I got to do that. No, what happens is you react to the threat. And when you react to the threat, what happens is your training kicks in. And what happens to me is, if I sit there and analyze, what happens is fear, that liar, gets louder and louder and louder, right? Yeah. But instead, if you start operating in what the Holy Spirit has told you, that God is sovereign, that God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is in control, and you begin to operate. Now, guess what? Sometimes we make mistakes. Oops. Anybody ever make a mistake? Yeah. Last 2 weeks, not today, but the last 2 weeks, I've left my phone right there on the counter as I'm, because I always put it there, because people call me in the morning, people, you know, text, and came up here and had to turn around and go back. But instead of saying, well, you know, the phone's at home, I'm not going to do it, I just take an action. And I mean, we make mistakes, don't we? Anybody else in here ever make a mistake?
Yeah.
Okay. I've made expensive mistakes, which is irritating. Okay. So, anyway, fear is a liar. So let's go to Psalms 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock and my keen and firm strength. We're reading out of the Amplified this morning. We're going to turn it up because it's Amplified, okay? And keen and firm strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. In other words, that my whole being becomes, watch this, my being becomes something that God can use to do his work. Let's just put it like that. Can God use you? Can he? And I want to tell you something. Your test, your failures will be your greatest strength. Paul says, where I am weak, he is strong. Listen, because when we got it all together, we don't need God. You know, I got it all together. I don't need the Lord. But then when I realize what a mess I am, I'm like, Lord, okay, I ain't saying nothing till you tell me. And guess what? Then he tells me, and then I say something, and guess what? It works out exactly like he wanted it to. My steadfast love and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, in he in whom I trust and take refuge. Where are you taking your refuge this morning? That's the question. Where are you taking your refuge? Is it in that third piece of cornbread? Okay. You go, what? Yes. Carbohydrates will do it. It's, I mean, you're looking for something else to make you feel better. You're looking for, is it that third beer? Is it that what, I mean, whatever it is, what are you looking for? And I want to tell you something. Seek him. In him, I trust and take refuge. And guys, I love the word citadel. I don't know if you've ever used the word citadel. Citadel is the innermost portion of a fighting position. You have a place that, you know, you got the front lines, then you got the people behind that, then you got this tower, but in the citadel is the safe, safe place. And with him is the safe, safe place, because he is taking care of your past. He is taking care of your present, and he is taking care of your future. When I saw that, years ago, my pastor was talking about it in Camden, Arkansas, and he was using different words. He was using an example. But as he did that, I was thinking, why am I so worried? If God's already there working it out, why am I fretting over this? And why am I fretting over that? What about that? What? I laid down about 50% of my waters that day. Because you know what? You don't need all that water, because it's heavy. It's like trying to run a race with carrying your recliner with you. Okay? All right. So I trust him and I take my refuge in him, who subdues my people under me. And I want to tell you something. God is the God of authority, isn't he? Is he the God of authority? And when we get outside of his will for us and we try to take authority on in ourselves, guess what? It begins to smell funny. I won't use any bad words. It's church house. Okay? Things go bad. Does that make sense? Stuff happens, okay? It does anyway, but when we get outside of his authority, and we say, well, you know, I'm gonna do this. No, let's let God tell us where to go, okay? Because God is the ultimate authority, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay, so verse 3's got a great question. Lord, what is man that you take notice of him? Or the son of man that you take account of him? Why are you even messing with us, Lord? And if you've never prayed that prayer, you ain't been in my head. Man is like vanity and a breath. His days are a shadow that passes away. I posted a picture this morning because I studied this last night, and I looked for something old, which I got a lot of old stuff in my house, by the way. But I posted a picture of my mom when she was about 6 years old. And she's sitting beside her dad, who looks enormously like Jeremy Brumley, by the way, which was kind of... Wow. But I knew it wasn't him because he had that Paul Mall, you know. No, I can't remember if it's in hand or anyway. And then my Uncle Henry was sitting beside her. He's even younger. They're sitting on a porch. They had no electricity, okay? They did have shoes on, so it must have been a special event, okay? Jake had his hat on. Anyway, but the point being is this. I was looking for something old, and I thought, you know, when he was sitting there on that porch, when my mom and my uncle were sitting there on that porch, it was hot. Well, I can take you to where it was at. It's hot, okay? And if it wasn't December, the rest of the year it's hot. And they're sitting there and they're hot, and my mom probably thought, wow, you know, this day's gonna last forever. And now she has lived her life, and her grandchildren and her great grandchildren are living their lives. And it's still, do you see how that, when I look at this scripture, and I mean, I was 17 yesterday. Okay, and of course, in a lot of ways, I still am, but the outside, you know, has changed a bit in the last, you know, now that I'm 37, but anyway, so, at least, okay, I am in church. How your heavens, O Lord, come down in the mountains, they smoke, cast forth lightning and scatter my enemies, send out your arrows and embarrass and frustrate them. And does anybody ever think that, even if you don't say it out loud, would you please get them off my back? Okay, actually, I'm more like, would you please get me out of here? Okay, do to each other what they want to. I don't care. That's their business. But, you know, they're getting on my last nerve, as Kathleen would say. So, again, we're in the Amplified, if you're having trouble following. Stretch forth your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of these great waters from the hands of the hostile alien tribes around us. Them aliens are wearing me out. Okay. But, and I don't mean anybody from any border. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about people who are not of my family, the family of Christ, okay? They're wearing me out. So, those mouths speak deceit and whose right hands are right hands raised and taking fraudulent oaths. Is there any liars in this country today? People's move, their mouths start moving, I immediately get suspicious. You know, I do have a spiritual gift of suspicion. That's not listed in there as one of the gifts, but I'm, you know. So, I will sing a new song to you. Here's where we ended up last week. I will sing a new song to you, O Lord, upon a harp, instrument of 10 strings. I will offer praises to you. Is anybody this week chosen to praise God, even though you didn't feel like it? I hope you're paying attention, because I'm going to say it again this week, because this morning about 3-ish, I was saying, God, thank you. Thank you. Because I want to tell you, a thankful heart is a fruitful heart. A bitter heart, you're going to have some bitter fruit. Does that make sense? So here's the God. I will sing a new song. I will offer praises to you. And I want to tell you, it's not about the style. I've been down that road with so many people. Well, you know what the problem is they're playing the wrong chords. Well, yeah, I've played with some bands that was playing the wrong chords, but it had nothing spiritual about it. Okay, and usually I start out in the right key, but about once every 10th song, somebody will have to stop me and say, Bruce, we do that in C. Okay, thank you. You are he who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David and his servant from the hurtful sword of evil. Rescue me and deliver me out of the power of the hostile alien tribes whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hands are right hand raised, taking fraudulent oaths. When our sons shall be plants grown large in their youth and daughters as sculptured corner pillars hewn like those of a palace. So I'm going to finish this and then I'm going to come to my notes real quick. When our garners are full, affording all the manner of store, and our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our pastures, when our oxen are well loaded, when there's no invasion of hostile armies and no going forth against besiegers, when there's no murder or manslaughter, there's no outcry in the streets. Happy and blessed are the people who such case, yes, happy, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, to be envied of the people whose God is the Lord. How many of you like it when everything goes right? And it don't happen all the time. Is that, can everybody, that's a nice way to say it. Okay. It doesn't always go right. Okay. And There's three, this, I gotta cover this real quick. I'll try to cover it quick because it's a seminar. We'll just do it in about 5 minutes, okay? There's three trains of thought, okay? And some of them are, some, and when you talk to people, we talked about a little theology this morning, but these can be camps of exclusivity where they exclusively think this, or they can be camps of, well, you know, this is what we think. You know, it's a big book. Okay, well, watch this. Some people lean toward the camp or live in a camp or camp. They may have a camp or may have built a permanent foundation in the place where, I'm going to tell you something, whatever you do, that's why you're in the place you're at, because it has nothing to do with circumstances. It has nothing to do with the fall of man. It has nothing with genealogy. It has nothing with any of that. It's all your fault. It's your fault, and you better do something about it. And you're about ready to go into heaven. You're born again. You're doing the very best you can. You slip. You fall off the back porch. You say a bad word. And you're going straight to hell. And there's a lot of rigidity right there. And I'm like, well, I'll try to stay off the back porch when I get old. Because I'm liable to say something, you know, maybe, like dead gummit or something. Something, you know. And then there's the camp over here. Oh, I've got a camera, I'm sorry. There's the camp over here where, that, you know, essentially, you're chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. You're going to be saved. You are saved. You're saved. You're going to be saved no matter what. Saved. Don't matter what you do. Okay? And there's a lot of people that have tents there and RVs, and some people build a foundation over here. And the camp that I'm in is in the middle, and you know what the answer is? Yes, that's true. And you go, well, you're just wishy-washy. No, no. Read the Bible. Read the whole thing. Don't just pick out the parts you want, because I like that scripture. That's a tattoo moment right there. No, I mean, I'm just telling you guys, yes, that's true. Does it matter what you do?
Yes.
Are you chosen, selected, preordained from the foundation of the earth? If yes. David hadn't done that, I'm talking about the King David, okay? If David hadn't done that, that probably wouldn't have happened. But was he over here? Is all that yes?
Yes.
Okay. Was Judas a free moral agent? We're going to be getting that in maybe 2 or 3 weeks. We're almost to Judas, okay? Seriously, I'm talking about in morning worship with Matthew. Yeah. But seriously, he had a choice. But you know what? The enemy came to him, and either, okay, we'll get that later. I'm not going to go there, okay? Or some of you will hear it 3 times instead of just 2. Okay, but the bottom line is this. He had to make a choice, and you got to make a choice. And it does matter what you do. So is that yes? Okay, but guess what? You're chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the mountain of the earth. Is that yes?
Yes.
So do what you're supposed to do and live in peace, knowing that God's in charge.
Yes.
Okay, and you say, well, Bruce, you're just wishy-washy. No, it's a big book. I got 2 of them up here. Okay, it's a big book, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and it's, yeah, we'll stop there. So, this deliverance, and I really appreciate, Lord, your deliverance both physically, mentally, spiritually, for my past, my present, and my future. You've given me hope, and you help me every day, and you've given me a home both here and in the life to come. And I'm going to tell you something, if that doesn't kind of give you a little happy, you need to read it again. You need to think about it again. You need to meditate on it, okay? You know, and David's writing this psalm, and I want to tell you, guys, as he's writing this song, I want you to think about this. We always think, well, you know, David, man after God's own heart. And I love David. I love David. I can't wait to, you know, have a small fish sandwich with him in heaven or whatever. But here's the deal, because I know you won't have much time for me, but here's the deal. This is not a joke. Think about all the pressure as he is writing these. He's got, at one point in his life, he's got his kids trying to kill him. Not just irritating him And not just you feeling like you need to kill them. No, he literally, they're trying to kill him. They're trying to take over. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Okay. And another point, he has fallen to temptation and everybody knows it. And everybody's talking about it. Okay. And another point, he has great victories and great, you know, is it like this? Is it life? Okay. And as he says these words, he puts into words things that we think about over and over. Okay. Rescue me and deliver me from the hands of foreigners and guys whose mouth speaks vain words. We are at a time, there's a lot of talking and very little doing. Okay? A lot of talking and very little doing. If you want, I'll just pick something totally out of the air. Tomorrow, if you woke up and you said, you know what? I'm going to get in better shape. And you go to any bookstore anywhere or on Amazon or whatever you do, and you put in how to get in shape. There'll be 10,433 opinions how to do that, including for $19.95, you can get a limited access. I mean, I'm just telling you, is that the truth? Okay, and the most the item that's used to hang up clothes more than anything else is a treadmill. Okay, so I think that's funny, but you may not. But here's the deal, guys. I'm not preaching that from a spiritual point of view. I'm preaching that from there's just people yap. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. This is how you do this. And they many times have an agenda, and it may be their wallet, it may be to push their whatever they're doing, you know, but here's the deal, guys. A lot of talking, and just deliver me from these vain words, whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So, we want our sons to be plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters may be as pillars. Now, sculptured in palace style. Here's the deal. We have to be careful because this scripture always takes me back to where does God look? Does he look on the outside? He said, you know, Bruce's hair and he trimmed that mustache, he's doing better. I like Bruce more now. He really doesn't do that, okay? My wife does. But here's the deal. That mustache was taking over my face is what was happening. Anyway, but the point being is this. Literally, it's not what's on the outside, is it? Correct. It's what's on the inside. God looks upon the heart. Do we all make mistakes?
Yes.
Do we all have flaws? Do we all that? God, look, what is your heart? Okay, and I want to tell you, so whatever on your heart eventually will work its way out your mouth. Okay? And I want to tell you, this is, I got in trouble for this in 1963 or 1964. I found some toothpaste that was really fun to squeeze out of the tube. And I got under the bed and squeezed out all the toothpaste out of the tube at Gertrude's house, my granny and smack over Arkansas. And I got a spanking for that. I have not done that since, by the way, even though it is fun to squeeze that too. But here's the deal. The reason that came out of that tube is because there was pressure applied to the sides of it. And when pressure is applied to you, sometimes things squirt out. Is that right? Okay. When people talk about you, when people come against you, many times insecurity stuff, if you want to attack, is that what the Bible says to do? No, you don't have to. You're not your own defender. You're not your defender. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, there are times that you have to deal with work situations and things, but here's the deal. God is your, is God your defender? Is that what the word says? Okay. And when Jesus is talking, he's literally saying, you know, if they ask you to carry their gear for a mile, carry it too. And you know what? You're going to think I'm kidding. I've done that, and I'm not talking about gear, okay? But I'm talking about in life, and I've failed at it. Oh, okay, let's not talk about the times I didn't do it, okay? But the few times I got it right, the very few times I got it right, you wouldn't believe what God does with that. You wouldn't believe it. And one of the things that I was thinking about this morning again is the seeds that have been planted here for 124 years. The seeds that have been planted in my family from when my parents decided they were going to follow the Lord in the 50s, maybe, I guess, 40s. They were going to follow the Lord. They were going to study the Bible. That when my dad was first one in his family that ever graduated from high school, first one in his family that really had ever gotten off out of that 5-10 mile area there. He went to college, and you know why? You know how he went to college? His mom sent canned fruit, or no, vegetables with him, and he got enough for one meal a day at the cafeteria, and then had to eat in his room with, you know what I'm saying? But that's how bad he wanted to change. He planted those seeds back then, and guess what? Me and my brother, my kids, my grandkids, they get the fruit of that. And then every day I go to people's houses, okay, not every day I go to people's houses, but every day our agency goes to people's houses that their grandfather has made some bad choices. Their father has made some bad choices. They're living with the fruit of that. Does that make sense? So here's the deal. As David is struggling here, he's saying, God, would you shut their mouths? And Lord, would you raise up our sons and our daughters to be what you've called them to be? And that's my prayer for you, whether you're 16 or 93. How old is Charlotte? 93. Or Eleanor, I think, is 94, getting close. Okay. Whatever age you are, wherever you're at, whatever's going on, my prayer for you is that you would be the son or daughter of the Most High God that he's called you to be. That you'd be that pillar in the temple, that royal pillar. That you'd be strong and courageous in the Lord. And that's what David is crying out for his sons and his daughters then. And here's the deal. When our garners are full, afford all manners of store, and our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands, when our oxen are loaded, there's no invasion of hostile armies. Happy and blessed are the people in such a case. Is it good? Is it better when things go good? How many of y'all have ever had things for a while just go good? I want to tell you, it's kind of relaxing, isn't it? And this is my last point this morning. I'm probably going to maybe even quit on time. But so watch this. You know that since I was an early teenager, I have studied Israel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, although I studied it. Okay. Took it apart, put it back together. Take it apart, put it back together. Take it apart, put it back together. Take it apart, put it back together. But when one thing comes up over and over and over, if you're a detective, that's a clue. Okay? So, over and over and over, Israel follows their own lusts, whatever that is, raising pet monkeys. Of course, that's not in there, but I'm just saying whatever. And what happens is things get really, really bad. I mean bad. I'm talking about captivity. I'm talking about genocide. I'm talking about, you know, trying to wipe them out. I'm talking about over and over. Because you remember, this is not a mechanized society. So the reason people had a bunch of kids is because they needed farm laborers, okay? But here's the bottom line, guys. That slavery, that had value to the people, their oppressors, right? And then they get in that, and guess what? It's bad. And guess what happens when it gets bad for me? I call on the name of the Lord. And as I see this with Israel, they begin to call on the name of the Lord. They begin to cry out to God. And guess what? Like any our Father who art in heaven, any father who hears his kids cry, right? Now, if they're out there mowing the lawn and they're crying because it's a little bit too hot, hey, suck it up, buttercup. You know, get after it. Or if things are, they really need something, guess what happens? The father begins to work toward doing something about that, doesn't he? And as Israel cries out for God, what happens? He delivers them. And, ooh, they are happy. And things go good for a while. And then they, because we have a memory problem. Humans, not just Israel, not just America, not just Crane Christian Church. We all have a memory problem, okay? And it gets to here, and they say, well, you know, that'll never happen again. I can do anything I want to do, you know. I'm special. I'm more special than my ancestors were. You ain't that special, okay? But anyway, and then we make that choice, and then we get in captivity. And then we're back down at the bottom of that circle. And we, for a while, we're just in there and we're groaning and moaning and slapping each other around. But then we get into, wait a minute. In my father's house, remember the prodigal son? They're eating green beans and taters, and I'm out here trying to eat the food that has been thrown to the hogs. The pods is what it says. I don't know what that was. I don't even think about it. But anyway, the prodigal son is in the most despicable place, the place he would never want to be, right? He's a Jewish boy, and he's out there messing with hogs, okay? So he feels defiled. He's filled this low place, and he's obviously worked his way out of his shoes because he has to get new ones when he gets home. I'm just telling you, he's down to nothing, and what does he do? He remembers, and he begins to go back toward his daddy. And here's the deal. We do exactly the same thing. And it may be some of us are making littler loops than we used to. Instead of this one, you know, I'm on fire. You know, the loops now are, ooh, it's getting hotter in here. I mean, I need to pray. You know, or that maybe even the loops get smaller and say, you know, I remember the last time that got really messy. You know, and then the loops get smaller and say, I ain't messing with that anymore. Some of us can learn. Okay. Some people seem to learn a little, not quite as well as others. But this is what he says, and we'll close this out. We'll be done with 144. Happy, blessed are the people who are in such a case. Yes, happy, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, to be envied are the people whose God is the Lord. If you seek him first, all these other things will be added to you. I have seeked him last. I've seeked him first. And I can tell you there's a difference. And I fail at it every day, so don't think that I'm, oh yeah, I'm seeking God. No, but I'm talking about that is my focus, to be obedient to him. And my, in my inconsistencies, and all the insecurities and all those things. But just remember, fear is a liar. Father, thank you so much for these folks. God, these are your people who are called by your name. And we humble ourselves this morning and pray. We seek your face, Lord, and help us, oh God, to turn from any wicked ways that we have, God. That we're just people, Lord. We're just messes. But Lord, we are your kids. So, Lord, please forgive our sins. Lead us in the paths of rightness for your name's sake. And bless these people today, Lord. Bless them and keep them. Let your light shine on them and give them peace. In Christ's name I pray.